Oh, you have no idea. Oh, you have no idea the words that I was going to say about Manchester United today. And Edinson fucking Cavani. Edinson Cavani. Oh my god. This guy is definitely potentially the best number 7 that we have had after Cristiano Ronaldo. Antonio Valencia didn't really have a good season as number 7. And others have just been rubbish, like Michael Owen, Memphis Depay. I have a soft spot for Memphis Depay, but who cares? Di Maria, Sanchez. Yeah, I did say Michael Owen, right? Who else? I think that's all for the number 7. And Cavani is the latest in the line of number 7s after Ronaldo. And what an impact, what a substitution. That was something that was kind of obvious that Cavani had to come on for the second half. But I was actually, we have a WhatsApp group for Manchester United fans, and I actually said there that Cavani has to come on for either a Matic or one of those midfielders, because and put Greenwood on right and Rashford on the left, because I hate the diamond formation. But the end result is the fact that Cavani did come on and he scored 2 goals, he assisted a goal, and this is just fantastic. Oh, this is absolutely fantastic. Okay. Oh. Okay, fine. Yeah, I was just taking a slight breather there. Okay, so United obviously have finished the game. It's full time. It's 3-2. And yeah, I don't have any words because I don't really know where to begin. Like, I've already said my piece about the game, like not my piece, but the immediate reactions to the game. I actually have written down a couple of things. These things I wrote down in the halftime and just after halftime. So basically, as I said, there was this another message that I sent there where I basically said that Manchester United after Sir Alex, and especially since Louis van Gaal's time, they basically have like 6 or 7 faces. When I say faces, I mean FACES faces, where it's either fantastic United, or it is lucky United, or it is a great turnaround United. It's a poor finishing United. It's a nobody is up for the game sort of United, or it's a game where it has a lot of refereeing errors, or goalkeeping masterclasses. Like, we have had a lot of goalkeepers come and be Manuel Neuer in his prime at Old Trafford. And finally, it's the sort of United that gets outplayed by teams. Like, we have had a couple of results like that. More than a couple of results, actually. And today it was... And one of my friends actually put a message saying that more than once it is actually a combination of these things. And in the first half, it was essentially poor finishing United, because there was obviously the first chance that Greenwood missed, the open goal. And there was obviously another mistake that their keeper made, which Greenwood shot directly at him. And then basically their keeper made a brilliant double save with Bruno Fernandes' save. And I think that was all for the first half. And then in the second half, it was Rashford. Rashford and Cavani were basically 2-on-1, and Rashford sort of had a go and missed, the keeper made a save. That was a sort of big chance, third big chance that we had. And the fourth big chance that we had was one where Cavani basically hit it over the bar, blazed it over the bar actually. And this was essentially a United side that was finishing rubbish, like poor decision making and bad finishing, that's all. And I don't want to go in on my Mason Greenwood, because he has had his mental troubles this season for the last few weeks, and he started and he has had a bad sort of first half, that's all. And I do trust United and Solskjaer and the backroom staff to actually handle the situation well, because they are very well capable of, if anything, they are very well capable of handling youngsters and youth players and their mental capacity or the troubles that comes with it, the British media being an asshole essentially against him. So you know, these things, I do trust the United staff to do well in that regard. But yeah, as I said, poor finishing United, and it sort of turned from a poor finishing United. Actually, you know what? This was a game which had a poor finishing United, a great turnaround, and in few places, it was a fantastic United. And I do say this keeping in mind the fact that we won 3-2 and not 5-0 or 4-0. But the thing is, we started the first half brilliantly well, and those two chances were part of the whole thing. And the problem is, not the problem actually, the fact was that I hate the diamond formation, but the diamond formation was actually working somewhat well. People like Van de Beek was fantastic this game, like not in every aspect, but in the aspects that I am actually focusing on right now, which was Southampton are a pressing team. They press more than most teams in this league, and he was fantastic in playing against the press. The quick passing, the one touch, two touch stuff, and playing out of the press, stuff like that, absolutely fantastic. Throughout the game, essentially, I mean, not just in the first half, throughout the game. So that was brilliant. And we obviously conceded from a set piece and then from a free kick. And between those two goals and after that goal, it was Southampton like dominating the game. And the De Gea injury did not really help the causes, because I remember him having to make a save which landed on somebody else's foot, and I think it was Armstrong who hit it wide or something. those sort of things happened in the first half. But, you know, the Cavani substitution was kind of obvious and had to be made because there was no Martial. The problem is, if you remove Cavani from the equation, and if you just, as we have all done, let's forget Ighalo exists. So essentially, we have three people who do play the number 9 position in Greenwood, Martial and Rashford. Greenwood doesn't have the physicality to play number 9, I mean, end of discussion. Rashford doesn't have the striker's instinct, the hold up play or anything like that to play the number 9 position. Even though he had a purple patch in Solskjaer's first half season. He's just rubbish in that position. And the third player is Martial, who is much better in hold-up play, who is good at connecting the play. Like, I mean, I don't want to compare him to Firmino in that regard, but similar to that, maybe. And his finishing is, in my opinion, better than Rashford's. So we obviously missed him in the first half, and if he would have been fit, then he's definitely starting that game. And I felt like Cavani had to come on because of that, because Cavani is a person who can do all the things that I just said about Martial, and actually better at most of the things in those aspects. And he's intelligent, he's experienced, and he is experienced, and that's kind of an important personality in the team perhaps. So that was sort of an important substitution to make. And I'm happy that Solskjaer did not wait for like 75-80 minutes to do that, because there have been times in the past where he has done that, and I hate it completely. So in that aspect, it was brilliant. So yeah, what happened? Like, there are no words, because I'm trying to form sentences now to speak about the certain aspects of the game, but I'm unable to, because this was just a perfect second half. And what? Oh, you're not actually suggesting that there was a foul in the build-up play? Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know what they are discussing, the pundits, after the game, but they are showing the Cavani's second goal, the winner, and I don't know what they were discussing, doesn't really matter. The point is, 16 points from 9 games, and as I said in the preview, since the previous international break, we have just lost to Arsenal in Istanbul, and we have drawn against They are discussing. Sorry for this sort of a messed up sort of past minute or so. They are discussing a push or something that. But I don't know what they're discussing. The problem is I have this on mute and I cannot unmute it because this will then come up in the podcast or the video, wherever you're watching. Seems like they're discussing something that happened between Oriel Romeu and Maguire before the cross that Rashford put in. At least they were focusing on it. I don't know what they're talking about. It feels like they're focusing on the finish more than that incident. It feels like somebody elbowed somebody. I don't know what is going on there. Anyways, I was saying something. Okay, I lost my train of thought. I was talking about 16 points from 9 games. Yeah. So, apart from that Arsenal loss and Istanbul loss, we have beaten quite a few of the teams and we have just drawn against Chelsea. And 16 points from 9 games is much better than what we had last season, which was, I think, 10 or 11 or something like that. Because I do remember our 9th game was against Liverpool, which we drew. And yeah, what else? Yeah, I think one thing that I guess not a lot of people will focus on, and I will because I have been saying that for quite a few occasions now, is that I don't think the diamond works. I'm not talking in terms of the attacking aspect. I'm talking in terms of the general play and the, you could say, the defensive aspect. It's that there were multiple occasions and passages of play where Southampton dominated the midfield and they were having numbers in our final third. And they were basically had a lot of moments where they were, you know, they were a threat basically in the final third. And in almost all these occasions, these occasions were basically being created by the essential inherent problem with the diamond formation, which is you don't have any wide players in your midfield or in your forward line. So what that means is, like, I'll try to explain this, and if I'm unable to, I'm sorry. It's like, let's say the Southampton are attacking down their right hand side, which means our left hand side. And let's say we have Telles at left back and Van de Beek at left centre mid and Bruno at number 10 and Cavani as the left-sided forward, right? When I say left-sided forward, he is essentially playing as a striker and not a left winger. So what happens is, when they're attacking down their right-hand side, there is sort of this miscommunication between the fullback and the midfielder, the LCM that is playing. And what generally happens in a 4-2-3-1 where Rashford is playing left wing, or in a 4-3-3 which is still Rashford playing in the left wing, what happens is Rashford is the left-sided player. He is the person who is supposed to track the opposite fullback, and the left back will have no issues in communication because he knows that he has to take care of the of their right-sided winger. But what happens here is there is this miscommunication where should Van de Beek track their fullback? And if he does, that sort of creates a gap in the midfield, which even Van de Beek would know is not something that he would want. So this creates a dilemma among the midfielders. And even if they have a good communication, and let's say all the midfielders, you know, have a good communication and they sort of bridge the gap, the only thing that Southampton have to do, and they did do that multiple occasions, was to switch play from one wing to the other. And what that does is, again, you have to shift the midfielders, you have to sort of track their fullbacks and their wingers and the players who are there in that wing. And then that again creates a communication error and it's just a mess. And this, like, this diamond formation we played in Solskjaer's first half season, where Lingard was playing like this false nine with split forwards, Rashford and Martial. I remember we started like this against Chelsea, where actually it was Rashford and Lukaku as the split forwards. And against Arsenal in the FA Cup, both these games, FA Cups. Arsenal against FA Cup, where we started Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez as split forwards with, if I'm not mistaken, Lingard as the false nine. where we had Herrera and Pogba as the split, not split, but you know, the two central midfielders with Matic behind them. And even in those games, we had a lot of trouble with Chelsea and Arsenal creating chances against us. Actually, even Spurs, if I'm not mistaken, the 1-0 win that we had against Spurs in Wembley, where De Gea made like 11 or 12 saves, even that game we were playing basically a 4-3-3, which resembled a diamond formation because the two forwards were split and Lingard was the number 10, sort of false 9. And this formation he has played before and he did not continue with it because we got battered. We got battered by every single team that we played against. Even though we may have created chances here and there, it's a problem. It's a big problem, and it's a big problem also because in the past few seasons, I mean, especially after Sir Alex has gone, or left the club, I should say, we have had troubles with coaching. I mean, this is sort of an underlying problem that we have, and it's not really focused on because, you know, the games have a lot of talking points in them and these things don't really get the attention that they do deserve. But our coaching, I don't think is good enough. Our medical team, I don't think is good enough. And I feel like this is the sort of problem that could be solved by a good coaching sort of thing. If Guardiola plays a diamond formation, Man City play well. If Bielsa or I won't say Klopp because I don't see him playing a diamond formation, but you know, if somebody like that plays a diamond formation, I know that they will do that well, and there won't be these inherent weaknesses that I'm talking about because they will know how to manage it. Even though, you know, I'm not going to blame Solskjaer for this because he's not the only person who is deciding the tactics, even though he's the face, but he's not the actual person who is deciding these. There are a lot of people who are involved in this thing, and the coaching isn't good enough to actually pull this off, in my opinion. So, you know. And even attacking-wise, to be fair, you don't have any width. You don't have any width. So, we're sort of relying on intricate passes in the midfield, and a high-pressing team has the potential, if they do the pressing well, they have the potential to nullify the attack, which sort of happened in the first half. And in the second half, we obviously started to create more chances because their players were tiring and we had much more of a focal point in Cavani. So that was actually the good thing. I don't actually have a problem with starting with a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 or a back five and then transitioning into a diamond formation, because transitioning into a different formation in the middle of the game and then starting with a formation, they're two completely different things. And there you go. I don't really have anything else to say. I mean, I think defensively we were good. Like Maguire and Lindelof, I remember them making a lot of interceptions, blocks and recoveries, managing the situation very well. Lot of instances. Yes, there may have been a lapse in concentration or something like that once or twice from either of them, but I felt like they were brilliant. Apart from the set piece that we did concede. So, you know, that was actually a positive in my opinion. Matic, Fred, good. Good, like, in terms of playing against the press, good. In terms of defensively, I'm not so sure if they had a great game. Even Van de Beek defensively, not really. He was good. He was good. He, as I said, playing against the press really good, and even some attacking output somewhat alright, but he defensively. And the question is obviously how much of a responsibility was he given defensively? That's another question to be answered. And if he wasn't given much, if he wasn't told to track back, or if he was, I mean, he should have been because he was playing as one of the two center midfielders in a diamond formation, so he must have been told to do that. So, I mean, the thing was, Van Bissaka and Telles weren't getting a lot of help from the midfielders while they were defending. They were basically defending 2-on-1. Their fullback as well as the winger was always on them. And so, as I said, I'm not going to talk about the diamond formation anymore. Bruno, I mean, Bruno has this tendency to be drifting in and out of the game, and but he does take the risks, and that's why he's in the team. And he has the knack for scoring goals and for creating assists, and that's what he did today. So it wasn't a perfect performance from him, but it was a performance that was more than good enough, and it obviously won us the game. And man of the match for me is Cavani, no doubts whatsoever. Like, I mean, his presence changed the game, changed the way we played. It sort of brought it felt like what Greenwood couldn't do and what Cavani did do was sort of complete the puzzle attacking wise. So for me, man of the match, Rashford, average. I mean, obviously the media won't focus on this, and obviously he got the assist for the winner, so there's that. I mean, I don't want to talk about any negatives today, so I've already talked about enough. So that's all. We have PSG next, and we have West Ham on the weekend. Actually, on the Saturday. It's 11 p.m. kickoff in India, so it's what, the 5:30 p.m. kickoff in UK. So that's the next Premier League game, and PSG is obviously the next game that we have. I don't know if it's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I think it might be on a Wednesday. Martial has to start because, I mean, he was ill, so that's why he did not start today. Martial has to start. I'll make a preview for that. Hopefully, I'll make one, so I'm not going to talk about that. That's all for this recording, guys. Thank you for watching. If you're watching this in a podcast or if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you for watching. Please like, share, and subscribe to the content, and most importantly, share the content, because the more people watch, the better it is in terms of the appreciation or feedback or criticism or whatever it is. So that's all. Thank you so much for watching. Bye, guys.